good afternoon to all my brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, especially our Singapore Dhamma friends. Thank you for the nice lunch and the surprising birthday cake for my daughter. Thank you. So I'm very glad that I can be here again. This is my second trip meeting Dhamma friend. The first one was, I think, at Brother DK's house. That was 2 years ago. If I'm not wrong, it's June 2022. And that was a very beautiful Dhamma gathering too. Then now, today is my second one. But this second one seems to have more people. Then I am happy to know that many of those new ones that came, they heard of me through my Dhamma sharing at the YouTube. And I was told by Brother Kong Chai, I think Brother Teo Bun Fei, he went out with one day there. He was the one that actually found my seminar paper that I delivered at the Bangkok World Buddhist Conference. So that book is a very good book, very thin, but it's a very good book. You should go to proteo.com.
You just Google, then the website will come out. So once the website comes out, you will go to the menu, then there's a listing that comes down. Then you go to publication. Then you look for the book. The book is Success in Life, Following the Dhamma Way. This was delivered in 2013, August, Bangkok. It's an international seminar organized by the world, they call it the World Buddhist University, if I'm not wrong, Buddhist University. So that book is a very thin book, but it's a very good book. It summarizes to you the beauty of the Buddha's teaching and how it's related to life. And how and why is it so unique, so beautiful, and can help living beings develop all of the success in life. At the back or the end part of the book, I shared my own success story. Because normally for living beings, what we need in life is all the few things that can make our life good and feel proud of. So what normally living being need is, initially as we grow up, we need to have a good life. So that one, I'm afraid, not everybody has control. It depends on your karma, where you are born into and all those things. But after that, you can decide your life. Like the saying goes, who you marry, you can decide. But after you are born into that particular family and how you come out, how you develop the success in life, depends on your understanding. If you don't have the understanding, you cannot be successful. So the first thing that we go through is childhood. Childhood. So childhood, the first thing is study or academic success. So this academic success, not everybody can excel, but nowadays it's easier. I think most of us can do it. Most of us would have done well in our respective school or uni, and you graduate. After you graduate, the second aspect of life is career success. At this one, you work hard, you have the understanding, you also can make it. Most of them make it. And after you have a successful career, what you need is the third one where most people look for is financial, isn't it? Financial freedom. So if you can have financial freedom, then you can have more time for your own things or life. So financial freedom can lead to early retirement to do the things that you like to do in life. And financial freedom can also enable you to do a lot of wholesome things, very interesting, like donation, offering, charity, or whatever, help people. Then it can give you that time to cultivate the spiritual life. Otherwise, if you can't afford to retire because you haven't achieved financial success, then what happens is you have to work in the summer. Then some are forced to retire. So when you are forced to retire, means you still have financial needs, especially going through old age sickness and death, not easy. Then after this, what else do you need? You need a good family unit, isn't it? Yeah? Family unit or good family life. And this one, not so easy. Most people, even after you have achieved financial success, you have a lot of money, but they don't have family unit. They don't have the understanding family members to live the good life. And most of them, after they have money, you know what will happen to them. Money can cause trouble to people that doesn't know how to use money. Then they have family problems, quarrels, inheritance issue, and all despite all the money. So this one is not easy. Family unit, success in having a good family unit. Then number five is what most people look for if you are in search for truth, for the hereafter life. So I call it the spiritual success. So if you can achieve all these five, then you should have a very fulfilled and good life. This one, no need to take notes, all is in the book. So what happened was, when I was in Form 5, 1971, I remember at that time, my mind started to probe. So what happened is, I asked myself the question, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? Yeah, I was looking at the sky on a beautiful night in a flat area. Then I saw the stars up there. Then as a science student, I know each and every star is a potential sun or bigger. And we are just one minute human being in this planet. At that time, it was less than 6 billion, I think 5 or million. Within the population of our Earth, you are only one out of, let's say, 6 million. Very, very insignificant. Then what more? This is only one of the planets in the solar system of ours. And the stars, they are limitless of them. Then I was asking myself, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? So during that time, the mind cannot understand. What happened was, inside my heart, suddenly the answer broke up. He said, you must meditate. At that time, I don't know what is meditation. He just said, you must meditate. Then I suddenly, from the very deep inside, because of my past, yeah, I say must be, I must meditate. You know, when I was young, I like to watch all those Buddha and his story, whatever in the cinema show. And all those like swordsmen with the meditation master in the cave meditating. So I like those type of cinema show. And because of that, I only knew to meditate, I must be alone, silent, quiet. Yeah. So that was how it started. And in Form 6, when I received the first book, What Buddhist Belief by our late chief parent, Kesari Damananda, I remember. I was at the University of Malaya, first year I joined MU, civil engineering. So he came the first day to the science lecture hall and he delivered a very good scientific talk. And I asked myself, I said, this is good. I said, first time I saw a monk board, then sharing very scientific Dhamma. As a science student, I got interested. And I saw him pointing here. He said, look inside. So that time I don't know anything. I thought the mind is here. So he asked me to look inside. I went back that night. First time, I never meditated before. Middle of the night, 12 a.m., I wait till my roommate sleep. Then I sat on the floor. To me, it was only about like at the most half an hour. And I experienced something that happened. So to me, I was telling myself, that must be meditation. They're very peaceful. And very tranquil, rusty. Then when I came out of it, I looked at the watch, 4 a.m. I was sitting there for 4 hours without realizing that I sat for 4 hours. That was the first time I sat. But I went into the formless realm, the infinite space. And when I went in, it was like at the most 5-10 minutes a day. Then I withdraw. Came out 4 hours already. And my whole heart area was so still. It's like something happened and transformed me. Then I was full of this stillness energy inside. So I thought, that is meditation. So I continue with whatever sitting I do while I was at the uni. Then I joined the Brickfield Temple. I went to this case leader on the Brickfield Temple. When I arrived, the chanting was like very familiar, the Pali chanting. I just now, by the way, Bhante gave you the blessing. He invoked the power of the triple jack for protection and blessing. Sabeti yogi vajantu, sabarobo vinasatu, mati bhava tantrayo sukhitai gaya. So all these are evoking the power of triple jack for blessing. So when I was there, all the Pali chanting, like some were familiar to me. Then I just walked in. Then after that, after the puja, I was given the card. But that card, I looked at it, sound familiar, like I know them before. Then I went to the library. And that is where some of the books were there. Then after that, the rest is history. Then I developed a lot of metta at that time, loving kindness, meditation. And my mind became very different. During my 4 years studying engineering, I meditated. Then I have very, very strong metta and also anapanasati. It just comes by itself. And I developed it until very, very strong. Then the rest is the rest is like, you know, history, not important anymore. So what I want you to understand is, this life when I came, I have an average family, but I don't have problem with the 3 meals. Means food, shelter, and whatever basic need, I got no problem. And my father did his duty very well. Then I did very well in my academic success. At that time, to actually enter MU to do civil engineering is very rare. In my home state, Kedah State, I was the only non-Malay, or the only student in civil engineering. The rest, there are 2 more who did electrical and 1 mechanical. Then when I came to Korea, I also did very well. I achieved my career success. I reached the pinnacle of my career. As an engineering graduate, whatever I need to know about my career, which I like very much, I have experienced them all, the ups and downs and all the various fields of engineering. I joined initially the private sector, then later on government department, where I was called up for the 2 years of compulsory service. Then after that, I joined the semi-government, and I came out into the private sector again. when I was with the private sector, I joined and the consultant, where I did very well. I reached the pinnacle of my career also. And we did presentation until all the privatization project until the Prime Minister's department, and we delivered the what they call proposal or this thing like that. Then after that, I joined the private sector, which is a listed company, which I want to go through that listed company's career life. So I achieved all those and I reached the pinnacle of my career. That's like all this I did. And financial freedom at the age of 35, when I realized the Dhamma, I also have my financial freedom. And I have enough money to retire actually. By the time my daughter was still studying, I said, why not let her graduate first? And they were very beautiful. They did very well in their career too. I got two children, one daughter, one son, Sui is here. And both also did very well. So I thought my record for academic success was like quite exceptional. But both of them beat me. All 5 days called straight A's. I also scored 7 8 A's, but the 8 straight 1, all the A's 1, or 8 A1. So that is the part of the story. So financial success was there, beautiful. So after that, what I did was I retired. I retired at the age of 46 plus to do the thing I like to do in life, so that I can devote my life to all those things that are useful and that I like to do. I like to do investment, that's why I'm very good, that's why I can have financial freedom. Then I like to teach Dhamma, and that's the two things that I did. And family unit success is beautiful. Yeah, I have a very good family unit. Even my brother and sister, they are also very good. I seldom see a family unit that is so full of blessing and harmony and good, I should say good life. And my children, they know, compared to their classmates, all most family got problems. Like the famous Mandarin saying, "Jia jia you ben nan nian de jing." So we don't have. And when it comes to spiritual success, I also reached the pinnacle of it. To me, initially, I knew I was not normal. You know, when I was young, I can see a lot of signs, a lot of things that I do are different from people. That a lot of things that happen to me can make me understand anything. So that's how the whole thing actually was understood. Then after that, when I was invited to that international seminar, World Buddhist University, and they invited a lot of people. Every country they invite two. One lay person and one monk. And I represented Malaysia as a lay person. And I saw that you can go read it up. So this one is to give you faith and confidence. Then what I want to explain to you is, why is the Buddha's teaching so unique, so special? So that you can have faith and understanding. You see, what the Buddha taught is not something esoteric or very difficult to understand. No, he don't believe in God. He said there is no such thing as the Almighty. Everything can be understood by the human mind. When he talk about the human mind, he means the two types of human mind. One is the normal thinking mind, or we call it the mundane mind, or the conditioned arising mind. The other one is the silent mind, the true mind, without thought, before arising of the thought process. That is our true nature, our awareness nature. That is the first to come out from the, they call it the Buddha nature, or the oneness nature, or some call it the source. you read this book, you understand. Here I explain it very clearly. The four stages of creation is on the appendix there. On page 61. Yeah? On page 61, you can open up that book. Those who don't have, you can come and collect from me afterwards. Yeah? I still have some here. The first circle on your left, I put there source. Remember? Then below source is Nibbana. So this is the realization of Nibbana, the unconditioned. When you realize Nibbana, the unconditioned, you can actually realize the Buddha nature. Yeah. But that nature is very unique because very few people can understand and gain access unless you become enlightened. And not all enlightened beings understand that nature. Yeah, most of them have a glimpse of it only. You haven't really realized it and stabilized it and understand what that thing is. To understand what that thing is, you have to take the Bodhisattva way, which is way beyond the sainthood way. Yeah. So this one, down there, I also call it the true nature or original nature. The Mahayana like to use this word, Penlaidamianmu. How many of you understand the Mahayana Mandarin? Penlaidamianmu. Means this is the original nature. Penlai means before the arising of anything, the source, the original. Means it's the uncreated, understand? That's why it's the original nature. Penlaidamianmu. Then some call it the oneness nature. Because this nature actually embodies the whole thing. It's like the English word, pneumono. You know what is pneumono? The opposite word of phenomena. Mm. Yeah? The whole of the phenomena world is within the pneumono. You understand? Mm. Yeah, that is the oneness. Yeah. But the phenomena come from this pneumono, understand? But it's not the pneumono. Yeah? It's a byproduct of it. So what happened is, you move on to the second circle. So when you take birth as a living being, can be a human being or an animal or what, this Buddha nature is already connected to your being. But you don't know. You cannot detect it and you don't know what it is. Because since birth until now, most of you are familiar with only the thought process. True or not? Yeah, you are so conditioned. That's why you stray away from a baby. At the baby stage, newborn baby, you are at the second circle, true mind, or what they call the pure awareness nature. So pure awareness nature is where your true mind is. Because the baby got no memory. And they look at things, they see things as they are, they perceive everything as the way it is. No word, nothing. They cannot describe nothing. That's why they are very cute, very naive. And they just conscious, aware. Whereas what happened is, after they slowly, slowly grew up, you train them by teaching them a lot of knowledge. You teach them how to pronounce papa, mama, and a apple, and all those things. So all this is the conditioning that start. That is how they condition you into understanding thought, understanding word, understanding concept, knowledge, everything. Then from there, you move on to the third circle. This is your mundane mind. So what happened is, from your pure awareness, you are actually the spacious awareness. You understand? Spacious and awareness means what? Well, your nature is just the awareness. It's just aware, incapable of knowing things. Incapable of like having words, concept, idea, memory. You don't have one. It's just the awareness nature. So that one, as a baby also, you know, you cannot know anything. But you are a conscious being. You are aware, but no words. Then what happens is, after they feed you with all those information, then you get the knowledge into you and develop all the conditioning and belief system in you. Then you develop all the various type of dualistic reaction to things that you have been told. Like when you see something, you have like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's why your preference, your like and dislike, your whatever we call it conditioning and choice starts to like become more and more developed. Then it develops until it becomes like very habitual. And that's habitual means the habitual tendency. You tend to see something that you don't like straight away, no need to think. Straight away you react, or you get angry, or you become fearful, unhappy. So all this mind state starts to develop. That's how sankhara develops. Then you enter the third circle, which is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So from spacious awareness, what happens is you shrink your consciousness. So initially you are spacious awareness. So this one as a baby. The first thing to come out from the source of the Buddha nature or Oneness nature is spacious awareness. Or what they call the awareness nature. Spacious awareness nature. Then what happens is you want to know things through your senses, right? You want to perceive things. So what you do is, from this spacious awareness, let's say the Buddha Rupang are there. How do you come to know it? You have to perceive it, isn't it? Through your perception, isn't it? Then through memory, you recall, then you label it, isn't it? Then it becomes a thought, Buddha Rupang or Buddha image. So what happens is, from the spacious awareness, you shrink your awareness to a small space around the Buddha image that you perceive. Understand? Then what happens is, you input the content of consciousness. Then this one becomes a thought, and this is the mundane mind. Or what the Buddha called the five aggregate of form and mind. This is the second aspect. This one, if you want to understand, you need to go through the Heart Sutta book. Then you will understand. So this is how we create thought. So from that spacious awareness nature, you forgot who you are, and you become so habitual in the way you create thought through the thought process. Every time you perceive something through your senses, whether you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile feel, or think, you shrink it and input the content, it becomes a thought. And this thought has been proliferating non-stop. So what happens is, every time you see something, you react to that sense experience, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. These are the two evil roots of greed and hatred, you realize that. And these are also sensual desire and ill will, the first two mental hindrances. And because of that, what happened? You are creating mental hindrance all the time. Understand? When you react to sense experience. Until it becomes so habitual. So how can you meditate? How can you have the peace? Because every moment of conscious living, you are creating like and dislike, which are mental hindrance or sensual desire and ill will. And this has become so habitual. And what are mental hindrances? Mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be aware. Yeah, everything you see, you perceive through memory, which is knowledge. Not the direct seeing. Direct seeing means the pure awareness, this spacious awareness, seeing as they are. Means when you see, it's spacious awareness. You don't shrink, you don't input the content. You see things as they are. You can move. You can do whatever you like. But when you see things as they are, this is called direct seeing. Seeing without the words, without the concept, without the knowledge. Then this one got no words. Understand? That's why this direct seeing is jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Seeing things as they are, like the Buddha said. You must be a human being with all your brain accumulated memory, views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, yet you can see like a baby. That is what meditation is all about. That's why meditation takes you from the third circle, yeah, the thought process, back to the second circle, which is awareness, sati. So if you can just silence your mind and follow the awareness-based meditation that I've taught you in the first few pages. Okay. Page 8. Thursday class, 16 November 2023 instruction. This is 5.2, awareness-based meditation. And before that, there is a 5.1, which is on page 3, So this one is on that day where I delivered the sharing, the Dhamma talk. So awareness-based meditation instruction. This is to take you back to the second circle, your pure awareness nature. This is where sati is, awareness, mindfulness. So you read through, then you will understand. I explained this very clearly this time. So you no need to worry about method, technique, and all those things. If you have been doing that before, it's up to you. If you want to use that to develop the stability of mindfulness, awareness, you know how to do it, then well and good. Otherwise, you follow this one very straightforward. You just relax, maintain awareness, no need to do anything. Do you understand what is the meaning of no need to do anything? Who is doing things? When you say you are doing something, who is doing? Like meditation. Who is doing the meditation? Of course, thought. If the thought is doing meditation, what are you doing? You're creating more thought, isn't it? Then how can you be aware? I re-explained just now at the lunch to my Michael. Man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are fully aware without thought, then you can be with the moment without thought, isn't it? To observe what is going on, isn't it? To understand what is going on, isn't it? If you are lost in thought, what happens? Means you are preoccupied with what you are thinking, understand or not? With your emotion, your stirring, your reaction, then how can you be aware? You can only do one thing at a time. No? You are not completely silent without thought in the state of sati or awareness, you will be lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with the thing that is in your memory, understand or not? Your phobia, your like and dislike. Your whatever, things that you hold on to, give meaning, or things that worry you, your anxiety, your sorrow, then you recall all this through what? Memory, especially your scars of memory. When you recall through memory your scars of memory, it reminds you of what happened. Then it triggers on what? Fear. Worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. And whole day you use your thought to create all this suffering, you are not living life. This is, to the Buddha, suffering. And what is suffering? You are creating wrong thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, and your lamentation. If you truly live life, you are completely aware, silent, and develop the understanding of what is going on within life. That's why you can see things as they are, or you can insight into phenomena to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. And that is wisdom. Understand? And when you can see things as they are, then you understand. Thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. Because according to the Buddha, this teaching is very unique. The whole of existence, he said, can be understood if you understand this five universal order of nature. He called it the Pancha Niyama. It's also inside that seminar book. Yeah. But I didn't explain much inside that. I just briefly mentioned. The first two are scientific law, Utu Niyama. And the second one is Bija Niyama. Utu is physical law of nature. All physical things behave that way. Bija are biological order. All biological things behave that way. So these two are scientific law. They govern the whole law, the scientific manifestation that the scientists come to know. Then you have the other three, the Buddha said. These are spiritual law. So if you go into the spiritual field, you must understand these three. Yeah, but as a engineer, I understand the other two also. That's why I can understand the whole five. The third one is a karma niyama. There is this spiritual law that governs all behavior of human birth and death. The samsara cycle of birth and death follow this law. They call it the law of karma, karma niyama. So karma niyama is very easy, the Buddha said. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. You don't have to believe. He said you can find out. Then the third one is most important. He said, each and every one of us, we are born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. If that is the truth, what must you do? Yeah? You must take care of karma. Like your life depends on karma. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned as well. And you are what you are because of it. You know? And how do you take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha, understand? That's why the teachings are all linked. The teachings of all Buddha is Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampada sa citta pariyottapanam etang buddhana sasana. Sabbe is all. Papasa is evil. All evil you have to avoid. That is keeping your precept. Breaking of the precept constitutes major evil. You go and check all the precepts. Who are the ones that breaks those precepts? The first precept is undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Who will kill? Who will harm? Violent people, angry people, selfish people, deluded people. All the three evil roots are there. That's why to avoid major evil, you must keep the minimum five precepts. Then after that, kusalesa is whatever wholesomeness, when there is condition to manifest, condition means don't purposely go and do, no? God condition only do, no? He said, you must do. Well, this is building up your merits, building up your, what they call, spiritual wealth. So if you can avoid all evil, you good, means you are cultivating the advice of the Buddha to avoid the evil karma, to bring about wholesomeness so that it will be conducive for your good life. Then the last one is a purify the mind. And that is meditation. That is to develop wisdom. Because even when you have all the merits, you can avoid all evil, do good, but you cannot avoid suffering because you still don't have the wisdom. When you don't have the wisdom, when you confront the first noble truth reality, the eighth reality or the first noble truth, this first noble truth explains clearly to you what life is, the reality of life and existence. He said, in life, each and every one of us, if we live long enough, we will experience this eight reality, which are birth, old age, sickness, and death. Then, number five is separation from your loved one. or your materialistic wealth or prized possession, things that you believe you own and you cling on to dearly. So when there is separation, you suffer, is it? Then number six, when you are with people who you don't like. Number seven, when you cannot get what you want. When things don't go your way. When your expectation in life are not met, you suffer. Then the last one, the eighth condition is in short, you can summarize for you all this. It is due to your sakayaditi, self-delusion, that cling on to the five aggregate of form and mind as the me and the I, the upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate, that is the cause of suffering. So what is this five aggregate of form and mind? This five aggregate of form and mind is our physical body and our consciousness that is trapped inside. That's why this one is not you. This one is what they call condition arising entity, not a permanent unchanging entity, dependent originating, condition arising. So this is karmically conditioned our powers to come to this physical world. This physical world is what existence is. And when you come, you need a form and mind. The physical body is like a vehicle to take you around. You know, you want to go somewhere, you need a car, you need a vehicle, okay? Then the consciousness is the mind. Yeah. This is the tool for you to live life, understand? Just now before, during lunch, I was explaining to Michael Dale, yeah, about this form and mind. You know why the Buddha renounced and go for, after he saw the four signs, isn't it? What is the four sign? Birth? Oh, sorry, old age, sickness and death. Then a samana is a religious person. The first three, he asked the attendant, what you mean by old age, sickness and death? He said, every one of us, if we live long enough, we will get old and become very, very sick. And finally we die. And we become like very fragile, very weak. Our senses will fail us as we age. And those going through old age, you know, not only your hair become white, all your senses, your hearing, your sight, decay will know, because the mother very old, blind and all those things. The hearing also know. So a lot of these things. So the Buddha knew, you know, with all the things that the father given him, the four palace with the four seasons, with the beautiful food, music, everything, he said, no meaning. Finally, when I confront old age, sickness, and death, I got no answer. But one day I must die, and all these things won't follow me. So he, in search for answer, to understand these three so that it will not torment him and cause him suffering. Understand not? So if you go and meditate and develop all the jhana, do you still go through old age, sickness, and death? Yeah, so that one would free you, understand? But as you grow old, your jhana no more, you cannot do all those psychic things, you become miserable again. So what happened was, he meditated. Then the two teachers that taught him the seven and the eight jhana asked him to stay back, be equal and teach. He also don't want. Why? Because this is not the answer, he said. Despite all the fantastic meditation, psychic ability. He said, this is not what he want. That's why he went on his own. And underneath the Bodhi tree, when he met Sujata with the rice, he decided, because there was a sign that came and showed him that he will become enlightened. So he made that vow. Not until he become enlightened, he will not arise from there. And that night, he connected through, and his past understanding came back to him. Where he connected through the gateway, the nature that he inherited from the spiritual nature. Then he realized this body and mind is not him. Understand? This one is karmically conditioned out, vehicle and tool for him to come. But there is another nature connected to this form and mind that can allow him to realize the truth, awaken. And that is the deathless element. And that one is not a human being. It's not a living being. It cannot come out and live like that. It's also anatta. That's why he realized the truth. If this form of mind is not me, then why I worry about old age, sickness, and death? That's why in the five daily contemplation, what did he teach? This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. That's how he free. You understand? So meditation is not so difficult. Realize that the form of mind is not you. Realize that you are that pure awareness nature. And this pure awareness nature is not a being. When the form of mind sees, it also sees. Understand? But you can use that to develop the awareness nature to meditate, to realize the wisdom, the direct seeing, the awakening, the insight into phenomena. This is what meditation is. So understand this, then you will make progress. You will become very, very good. Can follow? Then about the four support that I teach, you go back and read through and try to understand. If you cannot think, like I say, don't go and do, because the doing is by the thought. Understand? Don't try to know, because the knowing also by the thought perceive. Understand? And when you create thought, can you be aware? I already told you, you can only be aware or lost in thought. So don't create thought, don't go and labor, don't go and note this, note that, focus, concern. Forget about it, relax and maintain awareness. Just aware. Then stabilize this awareness to realize your true mind, your silent mind. Then TK sister, very good. The first round I came, she asked me a lot of very good questions, Mahayana questions. Then I explained to her. Then this time she is ready. She wants to know how to access the gateway. So I gave her the book. Then, 你回去读这本, 跟这本, 这两本, it will help you a lot. The fourth support is trust. Trust means trust your nature insight to do. No more interfering from the thought process, the mundane mind, understand? When your mundane mind is quiet, when you are without thought, means your true mind arises. You understand the Mahayana teaching? Qi xing dong nian. When you arise, the thinking process or the mundane mind, that is what thought process is all about, sankara activity. Then, 无念就是真心, you understand? Without thought, that is the true mind. Then why you go and create thought? You understand? When you understand this, meditation becomes very easy. You go in very fast. And you don't have to be deceived and deluded by what people tell you. Find out for yourself. Without thought, who are you? What are you? That is your nature. Then the fourth support is trust. Trust means after your mindfulness stabilized already, 你的正念定下来了的时候, very stable, it must be a free mind, free mind without thought, but the awareness is there. You must develop until this awareness very stable. Throughout the day, most of the time, you are just aware, aware, aware. Whatever you do, aware. Standing away, sitting away, walking away, turning, bending, stretching away. Even answering nature's call away. Even when I speak away. So to determine to be aware is to stay at the awareness there without thought. But this one needs training. The mundane mind needs to be trained. So that the habitual tendency of stirring and reacting to sense experiences, and that one needs wisdom. You need to develop the wisdom. The Buddha taught us the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The first two are thought-based. You can skip it. He said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, then the unwholesome thought versus. The second way is, think of the danger of continuing to hold on to this thought, the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought, which has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you will determine to abandon it. These two are still thought-based. The The third one is the meditative one. The Buddha says just relax, maintain awareness. Whatever mind state arises, relax, maintain awareness. Whether it's anger or fear or whatever, just maintain awareness. Means your nature's awareness, sati, and the phenomena of fear or worry or anger become one. Understand? Means the two synchronize. Your awareness, when it's there, it doesn't create any more thought. No thought means no condition for that anger or that wrong thought or fear, worry, anxiety to manifest. Because before you get angry, there was no anger, isn't it? True or not? Because your true mind cannot have anger, understand or not? The true mind is without word, without thought, without anything. But lai wu yi wu, understand or not? He chu re chen ai. Originally, there was nothing. Where can the dust align? If that is the case, what is anger? What is fear? They are dependent originating, understand or not? But it was not there originally. So you get angry is because you react to sense experience through your delusion. You cannot accept what happened. You cannot see things as they are. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's why you stir your mind. And when things don't go your way, you get angry. You get emotional. Then when something happens, fear arise, understand? Or when you project your thought, fear arise. These are conditioned arising mind state, understand? Not intrinsic within your true mind. So anger is not you. Fear is not you. Why you keep on saying, you after meditating so long, I still got anger. I still got fear. I still haven't become enlightened. This is delusion, understand? It was never you. It come and it go. You never die. So if anger come and go, you never die, fear arise and pass away, you never die, then how can anger and fear be you? Understand or not? Wake up. Means they are dependent originating, yin yan fa, each year you wei fa, condition arising entity, phenomenon, no reality. So silent, then what happened? That pure awareness is a purifying force, understand or not? Is without the evil roots. That's why it cannot move. Then the anger will cease. The fear will cease. Try it. Silent and just stay there. Then when it ceases, you will come to great awakening. Because it ceases. We are what? Not doing anything. That's what the Buddha taught the monk. He told the monk at that time, go and collect some water for him. You remember? First time the monk went, the block cut go through, the water was murky, dirty. Then come back, the Buddha said, okay, wait for a while, after that, go again. Again, murky. Third time, he said, okay, middle of the night, you go. Then no more block cut, clear. Then he brought back the water for the Buddha. The Buddha asked him, what did you learn? When there is no blockade to stir the mind, understand? Stir the clear water. That is the original mind before the stirring, understand? You must realize that. Then why you keep on creating thought and make it murky? You understand? So, originally it was already your true mind, then why you need to search for it, understand? You just relax and maintain awareness that it will come back. Understand or not? Then stabilize it. Can follow? Yeah. So with this, I will end for Q&A. Yeah? Yeah. Oh, sorry. There is one more part I want to finish. You know why the Buddha's teaching, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is so unique? Because that Four Noble Truths, it can explain to you all of life. Both mundane and super mundane. So just now I already explained to you the first noble truth, yeah. So what is the first noble truth? They always tell me, they say, the first noble truth is about dukkha, suffering. Life is suffering. Do you agree? If life is suffering, no need to teach. The Buddha also don't have to teach you anything. But he told you this is a noble truth. Understand or not? Means what? Noble truth means when you understand this truth, you can become noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called the Aryan Satya. Arya is noble one. Satya is truth, noble truth. Means when you understand the four noble truths, any of it, you can become enlightened being. Enlightened being are Arya that has the embodiment of the noble eightfold path. They are very noble in all aspects of life. They have right view to understand life. That's why I say this four noble truths is very powerful. It's very scientific, very powerful, and can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. The first noble truth explained to us the whole of the mundane reality of life. He said, if you go through life, you will experience this first noble truth of dukkha. Means, if you live life long enough, the eight reality which I have gone through just now, birth, old age, sickness and death, separation, when you are with people whom you don't like, and when things don't go your way, and in short, it is due to sakkayaditti that condition you to grasp at your five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. The five aggregate of form and mind got two aspects. First aspect as a human being. As a human being, you have a physical body, which is the form. This is what the Buddha called the kaya or the form. Then there is a consciousness trapped inside. So the consciousness is subdivided into four more. He said, if you want to understand your mundane mind, you must ask yourself, what can your mind do? Your mind can feel, there's a feeling aggregate. Your mind can perceive, like what I say, there's a perception aggregate. Your mind can think, create mental activity, sankhara, mind state. Then you can become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, feel and think. Okay? So these four aggregate of mind, together with the physical body, we call it the namarupa, form and mind. First aspect as a human. Second aspect is as a thought process. Just now, I say you shrink your awareness here, then you input the content. The content already got the four aggregate of mind. Feeling, perception, sankhara or activity of mind, mind state, and consciousness. But how did the mental form enter? Through your perception aggregate, isn't it? You perceive it, then it enters, isn't it? That's why there is also the five aggregate of form and mind. This is the second aspect, the thought process. And this one is in the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. All in the Heart Sutta. You go through the Heart Sutta, they are all there. You don't have to take note or remember anything. You go back and read it out. You can have them. So what happened is, the first noble truth, he say, is like the reality of life and existence. These are the reality that each and every one of us, when we go through life, we will experience them. Like what I share in my seminar book. All these are within the first noble truth reality. And it encompasses more, actually. These are the success. Understand? But the first noble truth reality is you experience birth, old age, sickness and death as you go through the whole phase of life. You live long enough. Then separation, I believe everybody here experience. Death of a loved one. As a, when your prized possession, condition arising. When condition cease to be, you actually separate from them. Like your wealth, your property, your even reputation, or even your money, or whatever. Even your investment. When there is a crisis, when the condition ceases, you may lose what you own. Then through old age, sickness, and death, you may lose your loved one. Understand? So these are reality that trigger of suffering. So old age, sickness, and death, we already know. Birth also, we already know, can trigger off a lot of suffering when things don't go away. Even birth, if it's not a normal birth, it can give rise to a lot of complication, suffering. So sickness, old age, disease, very easy to understand. Most of us are not that young anymore, except one or two. Then, when it comes to with people whom you don't like, like those who have to actually work for bosses that are very demanding, where they harass you, and really put fear in you. Management by fear and harassment, you know what is that? Ask you to deliver, give you a deadline, then create a lot of pressure for you, because they say you have to work for it. They pay you a salary. And out of that fear, you suffer. You know? So when they do this, it's not to say that they are without compassion or love. Because they tell you, I'm here to do a business, no, I'm not a charity firm. That's why they will harass you and do all those things. But of course, not everybody do things like that. If they have the Dhamma, they won't be like that. Because you reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people, karmically, you become the victim in the future and you suffer. So don't do this type of thing. So what happened is, when you go through this, you will understand the reality of life and existence. That's why I told my daughter, I said, you work first. Yeah. Then she retired earlier than me. 40, she retired. Yeah. Because when you understand life, you can retire and do the thing you like to do. And she helped me a lot in the Dhamma session. I retired 4 years already. Yeah. So this is what life and career and understanding is all about. Then after that, the second noble truth, the Buddha said, he not only explained to you the first noble truth reality, means the eight conditions that can trigger suffering if you don't have the Dhamma wisdom. This is the reality, okay? Mundane aspect. The second noble truth is, he tell you there is a cause behind all this suffering. And the cause is mainly craving, born of delusion, born of attachment, clinging, grasping. Deludedly believe this is a permanent, unchanging entity. This is what you are. So when you believe this is what you are, what happened? Yeah? You fear about this physical body, thinking that it's you, getting old, getting sick and dying, isn't it? True or not? And can you tell it, if this is not anatta, you can tell it, isn't it? Don't grow old. Don't get sick. Die. Don't die. Forever young. Can this body listen to you? Definitely cannot. Eh? That's why it's anatta, it's non-self, not you, not a permanent, unchanging entity. This one go the way of nature. That's why the Buddha said, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Understand? Huh? This is the reality. This one go the way of nature. This is not you. Don't deludedly cling, grasp, and worry. When there is separation, you also attach and cling and grasp and worry. There is delusion. There is no such thing. But the understanding of this teaching is very beautiful. There is a third noble truth and a fourth noble truth that explain to you the beauty of life. They call it the supramundane aspect. The first two noble truths is the mundane aspect of life. So if after the Buddha has taught you what suffering is and the cause behind suffering, then are you still so deluded? No more, isn't it? True or not? When you know these are the eight realities that can cause you suffering and the cause behind is self-delusion, sakkayatiti, that condition you to cling, grasp, and attach, that trigger of suffering, then you know how to manage your life better, isn't it? Don't attach, How? Not by using knowledge, this one non-self, not me, you try. Next time something happens, you cannot. When this one falls sick, you complain like anything. Why so sweet? Why me? Your medical expenses now so high, I got no insurance. You go and complain, You have no amount of complaint, fear, worry, anxiety can help you another. All these are negative energy field tendency. They make you worse. What you need to do is to resolve it through understanding amicably. Means what? Since the Buddha said these are reality, understand not? Like cancer, all those things. I accept it, understand not? Not only I have this common reality. Other people who don't take care of their health, don't take care of their life, they also suffer. Not only karmically. All age, sickness and death, everybody go through. Likewise, when it's my turn, I look at it with understanding. Means I accept this reality, then I do what I have to do. Understand? When I do what I have to do, my whole understanding transforms me. You know? Do you know how it transforms you? Know? Most people, the doctors say, a diagnosis with cancer. What stage? Don't know. Do biopsy. Then panic. Whole week waiting for the result. First stage, second stage, third stage, fourth stage. And you are trying to hope for the best. First and second stage, still a chance. But these are reality. Reality means what? Not only you, everybody is subject to it. When you don't take care, when karmic is like that, condition like that, things will happen. So if I accept, I don't project my thought, I don't have fear. True or not? I don't have worry, I don't have anxiety. My mind is peaceful, calm. Then I ask myself, what happened? Yeah, the specialist say this are reality. I wait for the result. Just like just now I was sharing with Brother Teh, Michael. He talked about Malaysia having all this racial thing not so conducive, and a lot of people don't want to go back to Malaysia. I said, forget about it. Thing is just the way it is, just let things be. Otherwise, your thought process keep on creating all this. No? These are reality. No? I told him, the Buddha said, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions. Condition like that, the collective consciousness like that, let it move. Understand or not? There is no other way. But you do something. Not to say you don't do anything. You understand, at peace, then you work your way out. Understand? Take care of your own karma. More important. Understand or not? Take care of your own cultivation to realize the awakening. Just like, where is Bun Chai? He fetched me there. Just now at the lunch, also, he said, more important is to meditate, he said, to realize the truth, the enlightenment. That one more important than that. So what happened is, you accept that reality, your mind is at peace, you no longer project your thought, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. Then you ask yourself, what happened? How can I resolve this? So you need to ask for second opinion, ask, understand or not? Need to seek people who has recovered, seek. Then the Buddhist way is very simple, three way. The Buddha said you are born of your karma, add to your karma, condition and support of your karma, you are what you are because of your karma. True or not? So definitely something to do with karma, isn't it? So what must you do? Do what you have to do lah. Ask for forgiveness, understand? Do the repentance. Yeah, this will break the karmic obstruction. If you don't ask for forgiveness and do the repentance, the karmic obstruction will obstruct you. Mahayana call it ye zang. When it obstructs you, you cannot see you. No? You cannot meet up with the gui ren who can help you. No? You completely, like, no chance to come out of it. You have to suffer. You have to go through. But when you ask for forgiveness, it breaks the karmic obstruction. Then, ni yi de tao gui ren. People will teach you what to do. Then when you have the faith, then you can do. So after that, ask for forgiveness, do the repentance. That is the first line of action to break the karmic obstruction. Understand? Now? The karmic obstacle, the karmic obstruction. After you break, then you move on. You vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, not to violate all these precepts again. Because this is evil. Understand? Now? Avoiding all evil is to take care of precepts. Well, all these things that you ask for repentance is you ask for forgiveness, whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that my nature or your loved one, you can ask on behalf of your loved one, has done any of these wrong action, speech, and thought process, or cause any suffering, misery, or misled, or whatever, you would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. And may this sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all. Then only that karmic obstruction can slowly, slowly disappear. But you must do it sincerely in front of the Buddha Rupa or the Triple Gem. And at least 3 to 6 months. You better do for 6 months. Then every day, yes. Then after that, what happened is, just like I taught the brother-in-law, Eric, is it your brother? Oh, your brother Eric. The daughter got cancer, recovered. More than 10 years ago. And in fact, many, many in JKL, they came, they recovered. All of them, they do this. And there are 2 cases, even more severe and more miraculous. They say God's miracle also doesn't work like that. They also recover. A very severe case. So all this, you develop the understanding, you can do it. You don't worry. But this is nature's law. Then what happened is, after you have done the repentance, then you tell yourself, I will now follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Means you take care of karma, understand? Well, you will repent. Repent already, don't take care of karma. What is repentance? Understand? No meaning, isn't it? You ask for forgiveness verbally, and then, oh, I'm sorry, lah. I don't mean it. You think nature's law will help you? God also won't forgive you. Understand? So, a lot of things you need to understand, these are nature's law. And nature is beautiful. So when you understand all this, you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to go and purify the mind, what happens is you start your cultivation. Understand? Because this is what cultivation is. No more negative karma. You avoid all evil. Keep the precept. Then whatever wholesomeness, the 10 meritorious action, when you come to Dhamma class, the Buddhist activity, you do all the 10 meritorious actions. The first one is what? You make dana offering. Just now you do already. Understand? Then you renew your precept. You keep your precept. Again, meritorious action. Then you silence your mind to meditate. Again, meritorious action. You listen to Dhamma. Already, meritorious action. You straighten your view. Already, meritorious action. Then towards the end, we transfer merit, share merit. Again, meritorious action. Then when you all organize the event for me to come down, you provide service to the Buddha Sasana, Anasana. This is service. Again, it's a meritorious action. So all the 10 meritorious actions you get to do. The other one is the gift of truth, Anasana. So by organizing this, you have to, I won't say propagate, Anasana. You have to arise the causes and conditions for people to receive this teaching. And this is gift of truth. And this is the highest gift. And with the 10 meritorious action, with your own meditative understanding and cultivation following the advice of the Buddha, which is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, you already developing a lot of merits. And then the third condition is, after asking for forgiveness, then do the repentance and follow the advice of the Buddha. Then now, the third phase is the turnaround. You can invoke power of merits. By the power of whatever merits that I have cultivated, you can say since the distant past until now, you may not know in your past life you have already cultivated too. Then you say, may it arise, the causes and conditions, for my physical body to recover to good health. For me to be free from the so-called disease or suffering, so that I may gain back my life, to make use of this physical body to cultivate the Dhamma, so that I can also take care of karma and develop the wisdom to become enlightened. And this is how you turn around, understand not? Understood? Okay, the last two, third noble truth. What is the third noble truth? The Buddha said very simple, suffering need not be, he said. Enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. So So what are you waiting for? That's so this is the supramundane aspect. Means enlightenment in the here now is possible. You don't have to wait till that. In his teaching, salutation to the Dhamma, he mentioned the same thing. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. And what is this Dhamma that is well expounded by the Buddha? It has these six special characteristics. It has the unique characteristic of Santitiko. This enlightenment in the here and the now of Dhamma can be realized in the here and the now before you die. You don't have to believe anything. Yeah. Then, Akaliko. Akaliko means this Dhamma is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time, beyond psychological time. That's why the title of this book is Physical Time, Psychological Time, and the Timeless. It's all explained inside here. Yeah? On the top here. So all this can be understood. So if that is the case, then your next question is what? How can I realize it, isn't it? How can I cultivate it, isn't it? That's why the Buddha never tell you possible, then walk away. He said there is a fourth noble truth. He said if you cultivate this fourth noble truth, which is the noble infold path, you will realize the enlightenment which will bring the end to all suffering. And this is what enlightenment is. This is what meditation as taught by the Buddha is. So whatever meditation you do, even method, technique, jhana or whatever, it don't bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. It's not the meditation taught by the Buddha. Understand? Noble Eightfold Path means what? All these eight path factors within the Noble Eightfold Path, they are very noble in their quality. That's why I explained to Michael just now at the lunch there. I said, to be a noble one or enlightened one, you must have all this embodiment of the eight noble quality. Otherwise, you cannot call yourself an enlightened being. You say you're enlightened and your speech are so crude, the way you communicate with people is so crude, the way you understand life is also so crude. What kind of enlightenment is that? That is not the enlightenment that the Buddha is interested in. What the Buddha is interested in is that noble embodiment of right view. Means you have right view with regards to the law of karma, the first spiritual law, and law of mind, citta niyama. Means how you function as a human being, the dwelling, the paticca samuppada. Then the third one is dhamma niyama, law of truth. All the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, all these three spiritual rights you must have, is it? So when you have these, you understand the law of karma, you take care of karma, your life will transform and become beautiful. That's why you must keep your precept. You must do good, avoid all evil, do good. Then meditate to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom and the enlightenment. So this is what that first noble Eightfold Path perfecta is, right view or right understanding of life. When you understand this spiritual law, you know how to live life. Understand? This is the secret of life. If you violate, you suffer. If you follow, you become beautiful. This is what the teaching is. And it's so easy. Then after that, he say, when you have right view, you will know how to arrive the next few perfecta. You will know how to live life, conduct yourself, and manifest. Means the second perfecta is right thought. Your thought process, or no more evil roots of greed, hatred. These are all based on wholesomeness, loving kindness, compassion, honesty, respect, gratitude. No more of those the evil mind state of greed, hatred, and delusion, selfishness, fear, worry, all this is gone. So you will have right thought, right speech, the way you conduct yourself, the way you communicate with people. Your speech are beautiful speech. Means no more of those wrong speech, which are harsh speech, backbiting, lying, and frivolous talk, understand? Whereas now, you talk to people in a very different way. Right speech means speech that are conducive for harmony, for love, for peace, for understanding. These are right speech. Then you must have what they call sincerity in your speech, honesty in your speech. Then you must not speak harshly or say words that can hurt people or cause suffering to living beings or cause disharmony, war, conflict, all those things. So all these are the embodiment of a person with noble qualities of life. Means right view, leading to right thought, right speech. Then all your action is above board. You don't act wrongly. You don't kill, you don't harm. You don't deceive, you don't cheat, you don't commit sexual misconduct, you don't break your precept. All of your actions are virtuous action for the good of the many. That's not enough. Help humanity. You have understanding, loving kindness towards the environment, towards society, towards your fellow humankind or mankind. So all these are the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then the way you live your life also, the Buddha said, you must have right livelihood or right living. The way you live your life all follow Noble Eightfold Path factor. Otherwise, you will create unnecessary karma for yourself. Then after that, he said, you must cultivate the four right efforts. And these four right efforts are very important for the initial cultivator of the way. He said the first two is to avoiding evil. And how you avoid evil? He said, we undertake the training rule to establish the first right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Means when you have got angry, when there is selfishness, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, you must abandon it. Yeah, these are evil roots, wrong thought. But initially, you cannot stop it. It manifests then only you realize, I still got anger, I still got violence, I still got fear. But delusion, this is not you, understand? This one is through your own sakayadity, you created it, understand? So how to abandon it? Just like I told you the five ways. The first two is think of the direct opposite, then think of the consequence. Then after that, the third way is the best, meditative. And when, let it cease. Then you know, this one is dependent originating, not intrinsic. They are not you. So you just silent, then you will cease. Then when you realize that, you come to great wisdom, awakening. If it's not me, then why I worry about anger and all those things? It's because all these are due to my wrong view that conditioned me to stir my mind. So how can I retrospectively reverse it? That is the fourth way. Develop the wisdom to retrospectively reverse it. Means when I see somebody I don't like, or from my scars of memory I trigger off fear. Understand? All this comes from memory then. So what must you do? You must ask yourself, how can I next time see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think, and yet I don't react? How can you do that? What did the Buddha's advice? You must learn to see things as they are. As they are means what? They are just the way they are. Condition like that, things will be like that. Means what? Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. Why should I get angry with them? Understand not? That's why you talk about the political scenario. Forget about it. They are just the way they are. Understand not? Let things be. But you act through wisdom. Wisdom is what? If they are just the way they are, next time I don't have to get angry with them. I don't have to say, why this fellow like that? Why that guy like that? No need. Even your wife, your spouse, understand not? No need to complain anymore. Learn to appreciate each other more, understand? Oh, thank you so much, darling. You help out a lot. The whole household, you take care. The children. Your wife will love you like anything, understand? Everything is, huh? No dinner. Why all cold one? This one, didn't buy. If you
have this type of approach means you say you meditate, you say you cultivate, no meaning. We have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path, not that. The other advice, whatever happened in life, my daughter will know, don't panic, don't fear, don't worry. Well, all this won't help you. Accept the reality first, right view, understand now. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, very powerful. Right view to accept the reality, then at peace. Then no negativity of mind state, then act, understand now. So this is what the Dhamma is. Then second right effort is to prevent the arising of the wrong thought. Now that one you need wisdom. You need to develop first turning, second turning wisdom, the initial wisdom. The first, second turning wisdom, you go and read up in the Heart Sutta. And first turning is through hearing. If your past is very strong, you hear Sutta Maya Panya, you will awaken. Second turning is after you hear, you cannot understand, or you still didn't have that clear understanding. You reflect on it, contemplate on it, then inquire to stabilize your understanding. That is second turning wisdom. That is called Chitta Maya Panya. Then the third one is Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of meditative discipline, Bhavana. That one very difficult, more difficult, I would say very difficult. But that one you need to meditate through the direct seeing to awaken. So once you have this, especially the initial wisdom of the first and second turning, you can do it. Before you get angry, the understanding will unfold. We call it Yoni So Manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. And this one will prompt you, thing is just the way it is, finished. You won't get angry anymore. You won't stir your mind, and there is no more fear. So all these are in the teaching. But nobody link it up for you, nobody explain it to you, nobody teach you how to apply to life. That's why I find that a lot of Buddhists, they find it very difficult, they struggle to understand the teaching. But when you understand the teaching, it's so simple, so beautiful, so direct. And then the third and fourth right effort is to develop wholesomeness. Third right effort is to cultivate all the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Understand? Because you don't know what is right thought. And what is your understanding of right thought? What is your understanding? What are right thought? In fact, everybody follow the book, tell me the four Brahma Vihara state. Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upekkha. Are you sure these are the only four right thought? All of the virtue that you have, the wholesome thought that don't have the evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, are right thought. And what are they? Gratitude, humility, respect. These are all right thought. Understand? Joy, sympathetic joy. Then all of the right understanding. From the Noble Eightfold Path, they are right thought. Like your honesty, your sincerity, your kindness, your compassion, your love. These are all right thought. Especially sincerity. Then humility, gratitude. These are all right thought. When you have gratitude, you become beautiful. Understand? No longer selfish. When you have the gratitude, you feel very good. Whatever people do, you have gratitude. Like just now, you all take me for lunch, buy birthday cake for my daughter. Then I see you all developing the faith. I rejoice. That is right thought. Then I have gratitude. Thank you all for all this. Then we thank Bhante Buddhist Library for allowing us to use this. These are all wholesome mind state that can transform your life and give you a lot of understanding. Then the last one is what? Right effort to continue to refine upon the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that you have developed, understand, until they become perfect. Understand? That's why the four right effort is to purify your thought process. No more negative thought. No more wrong thought. All wholesome thought. This is how you avoid all evil to good. And when you can do this, your mindfulness will fall into place. When you don't stir your mind so often, what happens? Every moment of sense, actually, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, technology feel or think or something, your mind cannot stir already because you have right view, understand? Your wrong thought cannot arise already. Then what happened? You got more space between thought, isn't it? With more moment of silence, isn't it? That's why you are just aware. That's why when you are mindful, aware, and heedful, most of the time you don't think. Your mind is very quiet. I ask you not to think. You try. You can hardly stop thinking for even a minute, I tell you. Not to say a minute, maybe 10 seconds is already good. But if you train, you can be whole day. Like those Mahayanita, they can meditate one whole session, 45 minutes without talking. Yeah. No problem at all. Just relax, maintain awareness. And in the midst of life, your daily mindfulness is very stable. You hardly any thought. You only need thought when you need to live life, when you need to arise. Otherwise, most of the time you're aware. Even when I speak to you, I hardly have any thought of you. Of course, sometimes I need to retrieve the memory. Otherwise, I cannot remember your name. All these are needed. But when the awareness nature manifests, I don't need memory. That's why I don't carry notes. I don't like prepare anything when I come. I just see the condition, then I just share. Your truth, like J. Krishnamurti mentioned, I think they also love J. Krishnamurti. Truth is a pathless land. It's not something that is held in knowledge or memory. There is no path leading to it one, no method, no technique one. Truth is to be realized. Realize is what? That nature, awareness nature, awakened to it. That's why it's a pathless land. That's why no such thing as do la that correct, this is vipassana. Forget about this, our method, technique, and skillful means, or meditation object. And they never define the meditation. The meditation is to understand that you have this nature. Realize it. There's a Huineng, the sixth patriarch, you heard of it, you know? He got three hallmarks of wisdom. What are they? Meditative wisdom. Huh? The first one is no thought. Wu nian. You understand? Huh? You know what is no thought? Wu nian is zhen xing. That's why he take you straight away to the true mind. That's why Huineng one is sudden enlightenment. Understand? Not the sincere gradual one. Understand? That when you realize no thought, that is your true awareness nature. That is your true mind. That one can see things as they are, can insight into phenomena, can awaken, can develop the wisdom. And then after that, you develop further understanding until you realize the second state, wu xiang, no mark. Then you realize no mark of a self-cultivating living life, no mark of others, no mark of life, existence, and even Dhamma. That is what the Heart Sutra is. In true emptiness, even the Four Noble Truths, everything doesn't exist. Yeah, that is the unconditioned, cannot have all this. Yeah. So, all this can be understood if you have developed the understanding. Okay, now we come to the last two. Perfect. Number six is Samasati. That's why you need to develop the right mindfulness, sati, or awareness. So what is sati? Sati is awareness before the knowing. You know? When you know, you perceive that, you create thought in that. So awareness is sati. So sati is an awareness before the thought, before you perceive, before the aggregate of mind arises. That is sati. That's why you can be in the state of awareness before the knowing. That is the real sati. Then when you walk, body and mind as one. When you bow body and mind as one, specific phenomenal awareness. Your awareness is with the kaya. That is what kaya nupasana is all about. Then when your sati stabilized, it becomes samadhi. It's a free mind, not a conditioned mind in concentration or jhanic state or whatever. It's a free mind that is collected and unwavering. Okay? So we end. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now Q&A. We still got 40 minutes, I think.
Father
Joe,
want to ask, when we sleep, are we able to control the mind?
Very good question. When you have sati, yes, you can like go into the sleep, and yet your awareness is there.
I see. So does that mean that we will prevent dreams from having dreams?
Oh, definitely. When you are aware, you cannot dream. Understand? But when you are aware in that state, sometimes dreams want to arise. You can be aware of the dream. Because these are your subconscious and unconscious release from the brain. Understand? You know what is phobia? That fear, all this fear that you have while you live life, could be your childhood fear or your whatever fear that develop when you are working or when you are having a conflict with somebody. All these are trapped inside your brain. So if these scars of memory or what we call phobia are trapped inside there, if it's not released, human being will become cuckoo. You know what is cuckoo? So how you release? When you sleep, they will release it. That's why sometimes you have severe, what they call, dream that lead to phobia. Understand? Keep on repeating one. You remember? Especially university student, you still dream after 20 years working that you haven't passed your exam. Because that one is, they call exam fever. Exam fever, you fear. And that one went in without you knowing it. That's why after I graduate, I came out to work. Then I realized in between, I still had this dream. Then after 1989, when I developed the understanding of the Dhamma and I developed the clarity of understanding, then I realized my awareness can go in. Then I got no more fear. I got no more of this dream or anything. Then even the college song, last time you remember, we had study and we got college song, all the 30 songs. That time as a student, we really love it. And we sing until it becomes so strong inside, Like the Abhidhamma mentioned, So manasa sahagatang, jnana sambayutang, asangkalikang. You heard of this? When you do wholesomeness, good thing, you must have these three highest merit. So manasa sahagatang means at all time, before you do, when you do, and after you do, you must have joy. Understand? You know this is good. Yeah, good. Do. Then when you do also, you have joy. Then after you do also, you rejoice. Understand? Then, so manasa sahagatang. Jnana sambayutang. Jnana is wisdom. You do with understanding wisdom. This is highest merit. Then asangkalikam means spontaneous. Nobody prompt you. Unprompted. This one is for good. When I do the college song, I have all these three but for the wrong thing. The fun is there. You have a lot of joy before you do. When you do also a lot of joy. After you do also a lot of joy. That's automatic one. Sangkrikan one. No need to people prompt you. Of course, jnana not there. Then I realize that habitual tendency is very difficult to root out. Yes, when I come out to work, whenever I meet my uni mate, they talk about college day. Inside here, the chattering, all the college song come out. You say, how come like that? Then I realized this one is habitual tendency. It will still be there. And these are the habits that you develop. You remember during the Buddha's time? A lot of arahant got very peculiar habit. They like to jump, they like to do all those things. The habitual tendency are still there. But this habitual tendency, you don't worry. It will move for a while. But the moment you're aware, it ceases really. Then later on, it cannot arise again. Because I stabilize my understanding. Then my mundane mind collapse. After my mundane mind collapse, no more about it. Even until today, no more. I want to sleep, I just sleep. If I want to maintain awareness, I will maintain awareness. then you can go into the sleep, fully aware. Then the subconscious release, dreamlike, you can follow what the awareness is with. But if you don't want to know, you can maintain awareness, then it disappears. Then when I wake up, like I didn't sleep on. You know what is it like, you know? Because my awareness follow me until I wake up. It's like I never stop being aware. You know? Then I don't feel like you need to go and wash your face all day. I'm very fresh. I didn't sleep at all. I tested that for 3 weeks. Because that time I can do it. That's why every time I relax, maintain awareness, then I go into the sleep. Sleep means physically I sleep, but my awareness is inside. Yeah. You can follow, but that one not easy to do. You have to be very stable. Yeah. Why you want to know that?
I'm just thinking if when you are in your deep sleep state, you actually have most dreams. So actually when your mind will be, based on science, that's the part where you are most well rested. But if you are so aware and like you said, you are so aware that you didn't feel that there is any sleep, so does that mean that your mind is not well rested?
No. The body is very well rested. Yeah, the physical and the mental are different. This physical, when you go to sleep, you know what happens? You become unconscious or semi-conscious. You know what is the difference between consciousness and awareness? You read this book. This book is very good. You may be conscious of life, but you are not aware within. You understand? You can be conscious of life. Human being has the senses and the consciousness trapped inside. That's why when you are awake, means in the sense that you are no longer sleeping, you become conscious. True or not? When you are conscious, you may be conscious of life, but you are not mindful. You are not aware. Means there is no inner awareness. That's why most people don't have sleep. Then how you wake up also, you don't know how your hand move, how you, the comforter, how all this movement, your kayanupasana is not there. Then how you arise also, you don't know. Then how you turn and want to stand up and walk to the washroom, or you are not aware. You only have the bladder, urgency of bladder calling you. Then you just heedlessly go to the washroom very fast. And how you answer nature's call also, you don't know. But in the Satipatthana teaching, under this Kayanupasana, there is one section they call Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. And that one, everything you do, all action, all movement, you must be aware. Standing aware, sitting aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching, putting on your shoulder cloth or whatever, shirt, everything aware. Then moving towards the washroom, answering nature's call, all fully aware. Yeah, it can be done. And I did it in the early years. Yeah. And many Kayamita who listened to my video, they also tried, they also did it. Yeah. And when you can do it, it's very beautiful. Your mind becomes very different. Yeah. When you are in sati, you are known. Your body and mind is one. You can see it on. No thought in between. Then the other thing that I need to maybe add in is, you say when you are in deep sleep, actually it's the opposite of what you learn. When you are in deep sleep, no dream on. When you have good rest. You know when that will happen? When you are very, very tired. Very, very tired. There's a lot of people, corporate world, they told me, how can me without thought? Impossible. I say, I go to every day and night before I sleep, I go jogging. I say, until I'm very tired, otherwise I'm bikun. You know what is bikun? Cannot sleep. Because too much pressure in the office, the corporate world.
meeting, everything. You know, say, you ask him to sleep, but he cannot sleep. Lady also told me the same thing. Also cannot sleep. He said the fear, the worry, especially board meeting. You know, you are not prepared and all those things. Oh, he said, the fear, the phobia and all those things. So they got to do all sorts of things. And they told me the best way is to exercise. Until very, very tired, then they just fall on the bed. So hopefully that one you can find out. When you are very tired, you will go into the deep sleep. Then hardly any dream. You're the body too tired. It will shut you off. You know, that is how it saves you. So, you know, our body is intelligent, no? But you overuse it, until it develops problem, then it cannot protect you. In fact, all these are signs that is emitting from the physical body, you know, like pain or cut or whatever, is to alert you that there is problem inside there already. Then when you are very tired, you will have to shut down. Otherwise, not enough rest, you will develop a lot of tight or they call it chronic sickness, nerve damage and all those things. Like last time, the footballer, you remember Mukhtar Arif, Malaysia, he suffered that, the nerve breakdown. He ran too fast. His adrenaline very strong, and he very good. And when he scored a goal, everybody cheered, so motivated. But when you overuse your physical, the nervous system can break down, actually. And Mama Ali also in the boxing ring, they kena left and right. Yeah, they want to train to be world champion and all those things. So these are the... Are you studying psychology? No. Then why did you get interested in this field?
Sometimes I just feel like when I have dreams, I felt... when I wake up, I can remember my dreams and I was watching my dreams. And
oh, Sadhu, you can know that you are dreaming.
Oh, yes. I
oh, very good.
Yeah, but then these are the times where I feel that I wake up tired.
Oh, then it's the other type of dream. You wake up tired, one is the other type. If you can know that you are dreaming one, normally you wake up, you won't be tired. Because this is the initial phase of awareness. The initial phase of awareness, when it come out, you will know that you are dreaming. And when I was young, I like to play with it. Yeah, I know it's dreaming, not real. Oh, I can levitate, I can fly. Then I even remember when I was about to sleep, when I was about to go into the sleep, the initial years before 1989. The mind, like, very sleepy, you know. Then suddenly, it like, there is a shift in consciousness. You know? It's like you went into that state, which is very sleepy, you know. Then it manifests like a dreamer that I am driving, you know, and yet I am sleepy, you know how dangerous it was. But my awareness tell me this is a dream. And you know what happened? I confidently let it be. Means I do not want to do anything, no fear, nothing. I just went into it. Then it manifests into another altered consciousness, you know. Then suddenly, like brightness inside there, my awareness came back to me. And then I realized that was a dream state. The mind actually can teach you a lot of things. You know, when you do the meditation, it will come and show you. Then a lot of these tests is like, you don't have to suffer physically outside. I remember in the early years, there was one time I was very near to the understanding, 88 or when I was in that dream state, suddenly my mind, although I say dream state, I'm aware. Then the mind suddenly, you know, what happened? For no reason, it shot up into the air, you know, very, very high up. Then it started to plunge, you know, like a rocket, like that, was down. Normally you have fear, yeah, it's hitting the bottom now. Oh, at the moment it plunged, my awareness was it, I developed the understanding, I got no fear, then when it hit the ground, nothing happened. No. Then the whole consciousness shot up. It's like immersed.
heroic and with the understanding. When I passed my test, there was no fear. Then the next one was, I remember, I was in a cave. All the pool of water, a few ponds, they were corrosive acid, no? Then I know I was in the dream. I want to find out, how is it like? So I walk inside. Doesn't corrode me. Doesn't have any effect on me. But I saw at the side there, all rock over here. So all this, it will let you understand. This is to let you have the understanding that no need to fear. Because that physical body is not you. Then when it's a dream state, you will know one is manifestation of consciousness only, no reality. But don't go and because you listen. After all, if you really sleepy while driving, you think you dream like me, then you let it be, I tell you, accident. Forget about it. But when you can do it only, you will understand. But most of the time, if you are driving sleepy, my advice is don't drive, go to the side, rest somewhere. Have enough rest. The rest and service area, or go somewhere that you can rest. You only need 5-10 minutes if you are a meditator. Then after that, you become fresh again. Then you can drive again. Otherwise, don't try all these things. But if you are a cultivator, you are known. You are known. Okay?
Thank you, Brother Tim.
Thanks
a lot, Brother Tim. I think a lot of the things that you have said sort of make sense to me, but I think I need to string them together. So there are still quite a lot of things that are not very clear in my mind. But before I come to that, I just want to say something about this being aware in your dream. I don't know if it has happened to me before, for example, because I love my mom very much, and I've lost my mom many years ago. But sometimes when I'm dreaming of my mom, I'm so happy, you know, that mom is still alive, but yet I'm able to tell myself, but mom isn't here anymore. Does that in any way... similar to what you are saying?
No, that one is different.
Okay.
That one is, you are in your dream, understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then your memory tell you that your mom is no more. When I say you are aware that you are dreaming, there is another awareness that is aware of the dream. It's totally different.
And I would say, while I was dreaming then, I was with my mom, right? In the dream.
Yeah, lah.
But I was able to tell myself, but this...
Yeah, that is through your memory that your mom is no more. That reality is through your memory. Because when you are aware that you are dreaming, it's different one. The entity is outside one. That dream is the subconscious release that manifests from there. Dream are subconscious release. Your accumulated whatever. Phobia or... past what they call the trapped consciousness that want to release itself. Then when it release, sometimes you will know the dream got no connection. Very fast, it like tell lai tell here, jump around. That one is the release one. But the one that has continuity one means you have been holding on to it for very long. Means the yearning, the longing for your mother and all those things, then it will manifest as a more stable dream. But the one that is aware that you are dreaming one is different. The awareness that is aware, it will know that this is a dream. Then you become very confident. Then whatever the dream tell you or do, you're not worried. You can do the thing to develop it through understanding.
Ever come across the vibe? I know I'm sleepy, but yet, how shall I say? It's like every movement I do, I turn and all that, I'm aware, you know. Then when I woke up in the morning, I felt that I didn't even sleep.
That is good. You can do that, that is good. Means while you are in that so called sleep or dream state, you are aware. And when you wake up, you are not tired, you are fresh.
That one is good. Means you have maintained awareness. But how can you do it when you, in your daily life, you are not mindful?
I would say those situations happened when I was trying to meditate. Then I fall asleep.
But when you meditate, you go into calmness only. You don't have the mindfulness in the daily life.
I really have no explanation, but this is just my experience.
I know. You don't have to worry about this dream first. Now, what is more important is maintain.
In this situation, it's not a dream. It's another experience of mine.
I know, but you say when you are in that state, means it must be a dream state, because you are aware of everything. How can you be aware of everything and yet you are sleeping? You are not in the awake state yet, isn't it? You are not conscious as a human being yet, isn't it?
I think at that time, right, I mean, I myself was surprised. I mean, this is
We slowly go into it.
During the time.
Wait, you mentioned when you wake up, you are fresh. Means you wake up from that so-called, you may say it's not a dream or whatever. But whatever movement that you can describe, like you are aware, that is daily mindfulness. All. And you cannot do it in the daily life, in the dream, you cannot do it. On.
Okay.
Because what happened is, it is before you sleep, yes. Before you sleep, sometimes you have developed the meditative calm and other things, then the mindfulness through bowing or anaparasati or what. Then when you sleep, all your movement activity is like all connected on. You are fully aware. Then whatever hand you put on your bed, the vibration all you can pick up on. That is the awareness. Can you feel the vibration in your hand contact with your bed?
Okay. To the extent of vibration per se, I can't say that. All I can say is that while I'm sleeping, then I was like surprised myself. It's like, hey, it's like I'm just aware. It's like another person looking, you know, like looking.
No, no, that one don't go.
That's how I imagine. No, that's how I see it.
I know, I know. I, that one you don't go and like get excited about. Forget about it. Okay, but more important is develop the sati. Develop the sati in daily life when you are conscious. When you are aware, when you are living life, that one more important. You cannot feel your vibration, means you don't have real sati. The sati, you put anywhere, you can detect on the vibration. Because our body is vibration, everything is vibration. Then wherever you locate this sati, it becomes very clear one. That's why you can hear your own heartbeat one, without the stethoscope or those things. This is the real sati. That's why I say, don't go and get too excited over all this. More important is, don't be curious also. More important is, just do the daily mindfulness. Then when your sati is there, you will know. The other thing that I need to let you know is, when you have the mundane mind, you very easy to do on sati, the daily mindfulness. Very easy to do. And you can be mindful throughout the day. But when your mundane mind collapses, it's not so easy. But you need the understanding to let you understand. Because that is another phase of training, really, the understanding. Initially, I remember with the mundane mind, very easy to do. And when I lie down on the bed, I remember vibration everywhere. Then I silent. It's like the mindfulness pick up on. All of this vibration, because then it will become more and more like refined. Then it will become very quiet. Then the awareness will stabilize. Because your mind can only be aware, and just let it be aware. Then this vibration, they will like become more refined, more quiet. Then finally, it will like become as if no more movement. Then the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, that is the best. Then anything you do is in sati. Your hearing is insati, seeing is insati, smell, taste, tactile is in that. Your thought process also, that manifestation of sankara activity also. You can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, before the arising of thought, before the input of the content of consciousness. You can be at those moments. Your awareness become very stable. So you must do the real one. The rest is, to me, is not important.
Another question, this diagram, looking at it in a simplistic thinking, looks like we start with the Buddha nature. That means, is that the enlightened mind you're talking about?
That's why you read further, there is somebody who asks a question. Then you understand. Down there, I think. Somebody asks a question, I answer it. Under the notes. You read through that one. You see, this thing, unless you develop the awareness, you cannot understand one. You are using the logical thinking, the thought to ask all these questions. Is it the enlightened one? But that question was asked, you say, lack of meaning, is it? The Buddha nature, enlightened one, can fall back to mundane mind on you. Right? Ask me that. You go and read. Under the note. He said, if he can fall back to become mundane mind, then not logical, right? Not correct. Right? Enlightened already can fall back. I say, the way I answer him is the best. I just tell him, you cannot understand what is happening. You are using the thought. You must realize that then only you have that awareness nature is a nature. It's not a thought, understand? Not? The thought is a manifestation from there, understand? Not? The consciousness that shrink is a different consciousness from that nature, understand? Not? You are that nature, understand? Not? But that nature through the perception shrink into a small area, input the content and trigger of the thought. So how can the thought and that thing is the same? No, understand? Not? That's why I say it go through the karmic process. Because the karmic process is when you input the content, there are karmic consciousness. That's why in the Abhidhamma, they say kusala or akusala. Understand? Moral or immoral consciousness. That one has karmic effect. Please don't go and ask this type of question. Because the more beneficial one is when you do it, you understand one. Before you do it, you ask. Don't worry. It's nothing about right and wrong. What I want you all to understand is do. You don't do, you cannot understand. Because your only instrument is the thought. That's why I say, luckily there is somebody who asked me. This guy who asked me is a meditator. No? Long time meditator. No? And yet he asked me. You know? Yeah, he got very impressed by my four circle formation. He said, nobody can explain that. He said, I'm really impressed. And the way you explain it is so beautiful, easy to understand. Then he said he got a question. He said, if that Buddha nature, the enlightened nature, can fall back and become mundane mind, he cannot accept it.
Let my daughter add it.
Yeah. Thank you for creating the condition. I think there were a few times this misconception came about, where one circle exists at one time. Actually, all four circles exist at every moment.
Yeah.
Within each person,
all
four circles exist. So there's no one thing that is becoming enlightened. Now, the mundane mind is there, but awareness nature is also there, they're present at the same time. That's how I understood it in the end. So it doesn't mean that your mundane mind goes back and becomes enlightened and becomes the circle that was earlier. If that helps clarify, I'm not sure if that was where it was going.
Okay, thank you. The other thing that I didn't finish explaining is the last circle. The last circle. You know, when your mundane mind arises, what happens is you have a physical body, understand? Then we have our five main physical senses plus the brain, the six sense door. So what happens is, like the physics experiment, the battery, the bulb, and the switch. When they are all in functioning order, you on the switch, what happens? The light bulb lights up, isn't it? The lighting up analogy is like you become conscious. Understand? when you become conscious of what you see, it's your seeing consciousness light up. And the Buddha said, if the seeing is only that seeing consciousness, no one to see, then the content hasn't gone in. The one that put in the content, the egoic mind, trigger of I see, therefore I am. That is the delusion. Then the other thing is, because of the sixth sense door, every moment you are conscious of seeing is just a consciousness. So then you input the content. Conscious of hearing, you also input the content. Then smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. And as a human being, all these function very fast, understand? Especially while you are living life, active, driving or walking around. All your senses are open, understand? If you are not mindful, how can you go up with life? You cannot follow, understand? But they move very fast. So when you become conscious, means it's a phenomenal world of consciousness. Through your senses, you created all this consciousness. Seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So this is what we call the phenomenal world of consciousness. Understand? But all these are just consciousness. Come and go, understand? Appear, disappear, the coming and the going. And when you are mindful, you see them all. That's why you know they are not real. They are consciousness. So how you know the world? How you interact with the world? Through your senses. Without the senses, you cannot know the world. That's why all knowing comes from thought, senses. Then how you interact? Also through your senses. If you don't have the sensor, you cannot interact. You are like a vegetable. So the phenomenal world of consciousness, like Sui said, is an independent manifestation from the mundane mind. Well, our mundane mind is the common, within the six sense door, you need the mind as a common denominator to manifest that consciousness. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought, you need the mind. Without the mind, you cannot manifest consciousness. So the mind makes contact with which sense basis, trigger of the respective sense organ, consciousness. So this is how the four phenomena the four circle formation creation can be understood. So everyone, like Sui say, is different. The mundane mind is the mundane mind due to the byproduct from that nature, the pure awareness nature. The pure awareness nature is a nature. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. So it has nothing to do with the mundane mind. Then the mundane mind that created the phenomena of consciousness also nothing to do with the mundane mind. Because this phenomena of consciousness is the outcome of it, the manifestation of it. Then that source, you cannot understand until you go the Bodhisattva way and go into that nature. Most people are at the third and fourth circle. And most of them are lost in the fourth circle. That is where the chaotic world is, I put there. Where all the happening is. Magician, the greatest magician. Yes? Illusion, the illusionary world. Huan xiang. That illusionary world, like the Diamond Sutta mentioned it very well. That huan is illusion. So all this, hopefully, slowly, you can develop the understanding. With the book, I think it will help a lot. Well, this time around, that transcript, there was a lady editor that helped me. She very good in English. So she make it easy for non-cultivator to understand where the English is simplified. So now you read this blue book. This one is so much easier than reading the earlier book, Path to Nirvana. Well, this one is my own English. This one is, he helped me on. So you read this one now, very easy for normal people to understand. You don't have to be a meditator to understand this. You just follow instruction, please. Don't try to be too smart.
don't try to use your own conditioning from your own past meditative experience or what. The monk never teach me like that. This one is not one of the recommended method or thing. You use this style of approach, you sure cuckoo one. You just listen attentively, read, and just like a clean slate, like you don't know anything, you follow instruction, like coaching. She progressed very fast after that. So no need to be too complicated. The simple mind is the best mind to develop understanding. Don't be too complicated.
但是当我要走完的时候，我一个very bright picture给我看到，真正沙丘，沙丘，沙丘，我就是要知道这个是什么原因型，rather就叫我，就是说我看到一个莲花灯很大，很亮，但是下面全部都是很高兴的人在看，对对对对，沙丘，哦，是你打佛七的修行。
你那种修行啊, through your faith and your mind that is in the 正念的 state 它会 manifest 出来的，给你那个 faith to understand that these are the many. That's why 你一看到那个你里面啊会很高兴的 there's a lot of joy that you know this one is sending you a message. So which means 你修那个大乘啊 修到蛮不错 otherwise 你不能够了解我讲的东西的 Sadhu very good. Your sister is very good. 2 years ago she already not bad already. She asked me a lot of very good questions at that time. It's in the recording. You all can go and listen to the recording. But very long, 3-4 hours that dana.
沙丘，但是呢，我要走，怎样走进我的心啊？
你 relax， 来，你听好啊，听好啊。你读这本书回去，那个 awareness based 你的 instruction， 你要 relax， 这个4个 support 很重要 ，all support for awareness based meditation。 第一个是 relax， 第二个是 maintain awareness。 第三是 stabilize， then 第四是 trust. 你们大乘啊， you all know Mandarin, eh? Anybody don't know Mandarin? You don't know Mandarin? Yeah. When she is cultivating the Mayana practice, theirs is 长期跟念佛. 念佛 means chanting the Buddha's name and all those things. So what they do is, they develop this spiritual faculty of faith that is very strong. And because of their faith very strong, they do it very sincerely until their chanting and the awareness become one. Like nobody is chanting. That's why 他们有一个公案,谁在念佛? There is nobody chanting. But the awareness and the chanting become one. And when they have the faith and develop this sati until they are very stable, then throughout the day they have the spiritual faculty. The faith, of course, they have. And the faith drive them, sadha drive them, they have virya. Then with virya, they chant until the sati become very stable, means the awareness and the chanting as one. Then their samadhi stabilized. Then they will understand one. They will develop the wisdom one. Then all the Maya Sutta they read, like the Hui Neng, Liu Zhu Tan Jing, or Leng Yen Jing, or even the Xing Jing, and also the Diamond Sutta, Jing Kan Jing, they will understand one. They will understand one. Then after that, because of their faith and their what they call virya and cultivation, that's why she will progress. Then when they progress until it manifests all this, means even if she continue her way, which is the Amitabha Jintu, that kind of cultivation, she will also able to take rebirth at the pure land, Jintu, then continue the cultivation. But this life, because she met me,
she can actually speed up her cultivation if she do this, because she want to realize that nature within through trust. That nature is actually our Buddha nature. And to go into that type of cultivation, he must take the Bodhisattva vow which she has taken, I believe. So once they do that, they will progress very fast, because the Pusajie, she must go through the cultivation of that nature. It's no more like the Theravada tradition, the sainthood way. Sainthood way, first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, even anagami and arahanta, relatively very easy. You only need to have a glimpse of Nibbana. Then you already first stage, second stage. Then later on, when it's stabilized, then maybe they will realize anagami, the third stage of sainthood. Then finally, if they are ignorant, avijja, completely root out, they become arahant. But after that, if they don't have any condition to take the Bodhisattva way, simple sattva, then they just cease, sana, no more rebirth. That is the segmented life. Means, 没有那个, like rebirth consciousness to come back to the existential world. Means this segmented life that is subject to birth and death, for them totally cease. But they haven't realized that nature. 他不能成佛, 因为菩萨道是成佛。 So the Bodhisattva way is the one that go further into that nature to cultivate. And this one is very long, very extensive, but very rewarding and worthy. So 要修这个, 你们, I believe 在净土里面, 他会教你, but much later, 你要修到, 菩萨道啊, 他有, I think they have 10 ground of Bodhisattva training. That 10 ground, you might hit 7 or 8 ground. They won't regress after that. 对，了生死, so 不用急，我教你这个更快, 这个是那个 five stages of Bodhi mind development, 菩提心的修行啊, 它那个 ten Bodhisattva ground 也可以改去五个菩提心, 英文你懂吗？ Five stages of Bodhi mind development. 我不知道有没有写在这几本书啊, 如果没有, 有啊, 啊, 啊, 你去, 啊, 在里面有, otherwise, 啊, 你去 Google 我的 website, 啊, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, 那个观世音蓝色的, 啊, 里面, 里面很清楚. So, 你要记得是, 你现在念念念念念到那个禅期什么啊, manifest 这些啊, what you need to do is, 你要静下来, for the time being, 你有了那个正念啊, 你就可以 relax and 静下来. So relax means, relax body and mind. At ease, means 放松, 全部要感觉到, every part of your body is in a relaxed state, 放松. Then, 念头也没有, 那个 body and mind, both also relaxed state, completely relaxed. 你不 relax, 你知道的, 它会有 stress, tension, 那个 不舒服的东西的. So when you are fully relaxed here, all completely nothing inside there, 好像空空, then after that, 你 maintain awareness, 就是不要 chanting, 什么都不要, just aware. Whatever 那个六根, 现起来的, 你 aware. Aware 了不要跟, 除非那个暂停来啊，你就可以 continue 一下子，不要它那个 habitual tendency 会来的。啊， but when you are in that state 啊，你 continue 啊，念到啊那个正念跟那个佛号啊一体的时候啊，啊你就很不一样。Then after that 啊，你不用念了，那个佛号自己会现出来的。啊， then 你 use 那个 awareness with it， 那个 awareness 那个正念啊，给他自己跟他跑。 then 你就会入到这个第二、第三的 stage， stabilizing the awareness。 它一 stabilize 的时候啊，你什么都不要做 after that 啊，你放松了 ，relax 了，你去你的 heart 那边，心这边 ，just stay here，don't do anything，relax， 放松，给他自己找，因为他的 gateway 是 somewhere。 Most people are slightly towards the left. Use or is it left? Left is also left. The left. Slightly. But you see, there is right hand side, but very soft. Most people are left hand side. Then you just relax. Give him his own. He is in the state of state or 正念, he is able to find it. 那个不是 thought 来的，那个 gateway you can only go through 啊，when there is no thought，means 你的正念真的要很 stable，then 你在那边呢 ，whatever happen don't try to know don't try to do anything just 停在那边，then 不要用你的脑袋去 do any movement or trust that nature 给他自己走，他要走哪里给他走。 走了啊，你自己会知道的，他会 slow down 的，他会 slow down 的，slow down 了，他 become very 平静啊。但 suddenly 啊，我不知道多久了，but could be quite fast 啊 ，based on your ability。你放松了，then you continue relax。他自己会 detect 到的，他一 detect 到的时候，你会知道的，他很 soothing 那种，整个东西好像 melt inside 啊。 就是好像刚才在 the lunch there I try to explain to you, your external yin yang energy will melt inside, because before 你真正的开悟的时候啊, most people they have yin yang imbalance, so this yin yang imbalance without the gateway 它不能够 become pure energy, so 要入境这个 gateway 你一定要有那个正念 ，means the awareness nature。哎，他一 detect 到啊，他自己会开的，他自己会 melt inside 很哦。哎，then 你 feel 很舒服的。哎，then 你那个时候啊，真的啊，没有思想，什么都没有了，the thought all gone 了，like completely still。哎，then 他就 go in 了，他 go in 的时候啊，很奇怪的，他自己跑了。 你不用在里面 try to activate or do it, it will move by itself. Then what happens is when that thing starts, you will understand because it's pure energy. You know, 它出来的 after it goes through the gateway, it's pure energy. Then 这个 pure energy 自己会去 activate all the internal nadis and chakra that need to activate. 它自己会去开的. Then 你会理解. 它会 end up the byproduct as gas, but 不是那种臭屁的 gas, 不是，它是 byproduct, 它好像，因为 we have our physical matter inside there, so 它要去 purify the thing, 去帮你来。 Like clear the toxin 啊，你知道 toxin 是什么啊？那个，it help you to clear that one 啊。Then after that 啊，you feel very good 啊。你 like 整个人呢，I remember 1989 I went through that thing. I become like a perfect human being. You know what is a perfect human being? All these things just move by itself 啊。Then I was like a car. You know what is a car? No? When you tune it until no sound, like now your EV car. But a normal car, you want to know somehow. My body is a perfect body, you know. 哇，那个时候啊，你的什么病都没有去了， everything clear. Very funny, huh? Then like you got a lot of pure energy, huh? Then 我的手这边啊, I remember 我的皮肤, everything, huh? Like there's a layer of I don't know how to describe it. Like, very small and someone never mind. Like you with the wax the feeling, but 不是 wax 来的，它很舒服的 feeling 哦。I think it's better than lady's hand. Very soothing one, very small one. Then that time, like you are perfect human being. Then 那个时候, I no need to rest one. I rest 10 minutes, I recover. My whole body fully charged. Then whole day fully aware. Then later on, 9 months later, my Monday mind collapsed. Then that nature shine forth. The awareness nature shine forth. That's why I say, 没有人会懂的, nobody will understand. 这个是, only the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, 你才能够, 达到那个境界。 Anyway, the first Bodhi mind development is Bodhi mind that aspire to go this way. 你发那个愿，你要走这条菩萨道。 Then second stage is Bodhi mind that like endure and abandon all suffering. Means whatever suffering 苦啦。 你要有那个智慧啊, 去能够 endure 啊, and abandon it 啊, 断掉啦, 断掉。 Then the third stage 啊, 就是这个 nature 了, 他们要 third stage 啊, Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature 啊, 他会进去 transform 到他 illuminate that nature, that nature become like very very 不一样。 Then when that nature illuminate 到, the next level, 就是你知道, 那个 samsara, 不是 reality. Then the fourth stage is where that thing happen. Bodhi mind that renounces samsara. Means to you, samsara 没问题的。你不会去 worry 这么久菩萨道没有这回事的。 Means you understand samsara is yin and fa, no reality. But very beautiful, very well. Yeah, by then, 你的智慧, you will reach another stage, no? Where your understanding is so profound, you know the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, like in the Heart Sutta. Then you know how to live life, no? Then 你知道, 这个五蕴, 是假象, but 也是 useful, also important. Yeah, this is for you to come, vehicle, and do. As a Pusa, you have to come back, understand? Every life you have to come back. So you don't have this one, you cannot come back. You don't have this one, also you cannot connect to that nature. That's why this one, although it's not real, but it has something to do with your nature, understand? Yeah, it's your karmic nature manifested, right? Then 你的修行是 end up in another nature called the spiritual nature. 那本书 path to nirvana 有写。 Then 这两个 nature 要 combine 你才能够了解什么是 生命 and life. To understand you must have both the nature's understanding. It means the conditioned dhamma and the unconditioned dhamma. When 那两个 realize 就好像观世音讲的真空妙有 means in true emptiness there is wonderful existence, means life living is meaningful, wonderful. So that is how it will happen. So the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, 你如果照这个 four support 去做, 你能够突破很快, 那个, but 也要时间, 因为菩萨道是很长的路, but with 这个, cut short 很多, then 你要去发那个愿, Bocheng, can you give her that 菩萨道的 yellow card? 我有一张教人家怎样去修菩萨道的, 一张 card 来的, 它有四个 pages, but on both sides of the card. 你要发那个愿, 那个愿很奥妙的, 是我的 nature developed 的, so 那个愿, 你发, you invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for you to understand all these important essential dharma. 那个重要的佛法, 我 you list 在那边, then also 教你怎样去除那个业障, then how to develop the additional vow, miscellaneous vow. So 那个 vow, very important, you must vow whenever you arise, means either you choose to come or you have to come. Choose to come means 你是菩萨道蛮 stable 了, 你可以 decide 你怎样来. The other one is you have to come, means 那个菩萨道还没有 stable, but 你 会 maybe come through the karmic process, 还是你净土的那个 process. So whatever the condition is, you must have this understanding life after life. 每次 you take birth, 这个智慧 会跟着你, 你要发那个愿, 那个就 speed up 你的菩萨道的 cultivation. That's why 这一次我来, 我全部 understanding 在那边, 我不用去修, 我不用去找, 因为前世, and 这个是 弥勒佛, how to say, request, request, 不是, 请你把正法传下去, 你读那个 blue book, 它里面有写, 它 recite 5次, then 每次它 recite 那个经字, golden word, 自己先出来, 请你把正法传下去, 那个 弥勒佛的那个 laughter 在后面, in the background, very loud one, 那个 you will know 是弥勒佛来的, 那个是 2008 那一年, 很奇怪的, 他就是 request 我把这个菩萨道传下去, OK 啦, 哎呦, 5点了, yeah, we have to close, yes. Let us share merit, and transfer merit, okay. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed, and the Dharma sharing, and whatever Q&A and important understanding that we have developed. May it arise the causes and conditions for you all to realize the Dharma, the truth, soon as possible. Yeah? And may it also be shared with all beings, starting with the Devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaka mahindika punyatang anamoditva jiram rakkantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam me nyatinam hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo vasadukalena sasa sampati hetu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammi. Oh, give me now.
respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, and all the worthy ones that we have.